The Blaze of Obscurity. Written and read by Clive James. With this fifth volume of my memoirs, I begin the story of what happened to me when I left Fleet Street in 1982 and went into television as the main way of earning my bread. The effect on my literary reputation was immediate. It was thoroughly compromised, and even now, after a quarter of a century, it has only just begun to recover. After the calamitous reception of my Charles Charming show in the West End, I regained the will to live by painting bicycles for my children. This creative upsurge extended itself to the construction of a novel, Brilliant Creatures. Overly decorated with flash, filigree, and would-be satirical pseudo-scholarship, the book nevertheless achieved the approval of the public. It even hung up there near the top of the bestseller list for a little while, like a parachute flare with delusions of stardom. I had to admit that the change of title might have helped. My original title had been Tactical Voting in the Eurovision Song Contest. My Sunday night television show about television, an early instance of the medium consuming itself, was pulling about 10 million viewers, and my hostile literary critics drew the conclusion that to them seemed necessary. Nobody getting so famous for being so frivolous could possibly be serious. Useless to protest that I thought all the different media were the one field. For one thing, I had not yet thought it, but I had always felt it, and indeed my Observer television column was based on just that feeling. Though it was no fun to be told that I had sacrificed my gravitas on the altar of popular success, I tried not to let it bother me. The kind of television entertainment that I wanted to do could not be done without seriousness for bedrock. Having dedicated my television column to the principle that mass entertainment would be a bad thing only if such a thing as a mass existed, I was now in a position to prove that I could get into mass entertainment myself and play a full part as one of those countless individual people. It was equality, the new equality, the only real equality that there had ever been. I had my trepidations on setting out, but I was confident enough, although even I wondered if I were wise to navigate by limelight. In the long run, the limelight gave me a whole new subject, the celebrity culture. There is no substitute for actually visiting the foreign country. In the course of 20 years, I visited dozens of foreign countries, but the most foreign was, and was increasingly, the realm of celebrity. I discovered it to be a floating world all by itself. One of its driving forces was the desire to create envy, and the subservient readiness to be envious. I can give myself credit for staying out of all that from the jump. I never lived high, and even today I have few toys apart from my website, clivejames.com. In the real, non-virtual world, of course, the ego is subject to the rules of time, hence the hair transplants and the facelifts, which admit the inevitable by the blatancy with which they deny it. I never did any of that stuff either, but I certainly had the urge to save something from the wreck. These later books of memoirs arise from that same impulse, and I suppose the earlier ones did too. I just didn't know it yet. Not knowing things yet, and finding them out after reflecting on experience, has been the continuing story of my life, and will probably go on being so right to the end. In my last volume, I will undoubtedly be tempted to try summing up a lifetime of reflections on my own existence. Socrates, after all, said that the unexamined life was not worth living. He might have added, however, that continual self-examination would leave us no time to live. In the period I recount here, I was as busy as a fundamentally slothful man can ever be, and scarcely thought at all. As you grow older, you are forcibly reminded of your essential personality more and more often. When I am living alone with my work at my flat in London, I breakfast off a pot of coffee and 2 slices of unadorned toast. The aim is to control my weight, and it works. My weight remains controlled at about 50 pounds above the level that my doctor recommends as the maximum for continued life. But even though the plan goes reasonably well on the whole, it goes wrong enough in detail to remind me that there is a defective mind doing the planning. Somewhere between every fourth and fifth